You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Raptors Republic podcast, the interview. My name is Andrew Damelin. I'm in Mississauga with Raptors 905 forward, straight out of Athens, Alex Antetokounmpo. Alex, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Is this your first time in Canada?
It is.
Now, your first time in Canada, and I was just watching at the end of practice, was that your first time throwing a football around? I saw you were throwing a football with yeah. guys.
Definitely. It was my first time throwing a football. I remember my my high school football coach bothered me for 4 years, tried to get me to play football. Never got to it, but definitely something I want to learn more about.
Still got time. You got time to learn about that sport as well. But I want to go back to Athens. And around the first time you played basketball, around the age of 9 years old, your brother said you were a chubby kid that just wanted to play. But what's sort of the fondest first basketball memory you have of playing the game in Athens?
I definitely said probably like my first memories playing basketball was probably like trying to play like 2-on-2 with my brothers and going out with, you know, with my friends in school, in middle school, you know, just trying to play basketball and trying to transition into basketball. I used to love soccer, and none of my friends played basketball, so just growing up, I had to, like, go out of my way to play basketball. And when I figured out that I had a love for it, I just kept going. And eventually I found new type of friend groups and new people that were around the game of basketball, and it just kind of worked out.
I mean, in basketball, correct me if I'm wrong, but basketball and soccer is about equivalent in Greece nowadays. Is that fair to say?
Now it is, I would say. But they have, in Europe has a very strong love for soccer. And I would say that it's definitely where I grew up in Athens, soccer was definitely the thing. And soccer is definitely a Greek sport, I think.
So you play the game, you take it really seriously at a young age, along with your brothers. You move over to Milwaukee when Giannis gets drafted. You go to Dominican High School.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first time where you're not sort of mainly coached up by your family. There's sort of outside mentors around giving you that guidance. With your head coach, Jim Goss, a legendary coach in the Milwaukee area, what kind of mentoring did he give you? Sort of outside of that familial type of influence, what kind of mentoring did he give you, basketball outside of basketball, that really influenced you?
Coach Goss is unbelievable. Shout out to him joining the Rufus King Hall of Fame, by the way. But he was unbelievable for me. You know, he was there for me, kept talking me through it. You know, as a freshman kid, he's one of the coaches that really believed in me and bought into what I could do as a basketball player. You know, he was there when I had concussions. He was there when I had injuries. He was there through it all. He's there when I lost my father. He's definitely like somebody that I hold to a very, very high standard.
You mentioned your freshman year in high school. You only averaged 3 points a game, and there was a big transition during that offseason. I know you worked a lot with Giannis, but when you come back in your sophomore season, do you remember sort of Coach Goss's reaction and saying, "Hey, what happened over the summer?"
Yeah, I mean, I just knew, like, I came back from Greece. Coach looked at me, and he was just like, looked at me up and down, and said, "We need to get a lot of work in, but you're gonna play a lot of important minutes this year." So, I kind of took a huge jump from being one of the main focal points from not playing at all. So, it was definitely a big jump for me. But I think I got the hang of it sooner than later.
And I wanted to get in touch with your coach, and he actually emailed me right before you came over, so I couldn't talk with him. But in his email, he said, "Hey, Alex hasn't emailed me in a month. Tell him to give me a call." So he definitely sends his well wishes.
Yeah. I haven't spoke to him in a little bit before the before I got out here. So I'm definitely gonna get to that.
Cool. So obviously, being around your family, basketball was a vision of a way for prosperity for your family, right?
Yeah.
But the game's got to be fun too, I imagine, in order for you to be able to reach those heights. Is there a time, maybe in high school, maybe in your one season overseas, where the game was most fun for you?
I definitely said high school, because like after I got out of high school, it became like the game became a job and it was a lot of professionalism. But I think it was that little naive part of being in high school and just being able to be with your friends and compete and have your high school games and have your AAU games, and just that whole experience is something that kids will tell you right now that are in college or are playing the G League, NBA, overseas. They're going to tell you that, man, I miss those days, you know? So, and there are times that you're never going to get back, you know? You're never going to be playing 11 and under, you know, in tournaments and playing 5 games a day and stuff like that. So definitely cherish those. Hopefully I get to experience those with my nephew or my son down the line, so.
And you're a 2-time state, all-state in Wisconsin during your high school career.
Could you repeat that? So my coach, say that again.
You're a 2-time all-state.
Thank
in
you. 2-time all-state.
In Wisconsin, as one of your assistants walks by. You mentioned your kids, your grandkids, that you eventually hope to tell stories about. Is there a game, a moment that sticks out in your mind from your high school career at Dominican where you're like, son or my daughter, remember, this is what I did back in high school in this game?
It's a lot. I think it's a lot of memorable games, I would say. I had a pretty unlucky high school run, losing at the game to go to state by 1 point every single year. But I think it's a lot. I definitely say like hitting my 1,000 point against Sierra Canyon. It was a big moment that I would probably tell my kids. You know, just that was a big stage to play in, and playing against a lot of guys that are pros right now in the NBA. So I definitely have a lot of moments that I definitely cherish. But I would say the one moment that was the most fun for me and the most touching, it definitely was my senior night. So yeah, having all my brothers and my mother being able to come out, and everybody and around me and all my loved ones to be able to support me that one night. It was crazy because, you know, like, obviously I have my brothers that are obviously in their jobs and with their teams, so we're not able to get together all the time, but that one time we were, and it was just unbelievable. So that's definitely one moment that I'm going to be able to tell my kids. Thankfully, it's documented and there's pictures as well, so I'll be able to show that.
And sticking with your high school age, there's an article by Miran Fader from 3 years ago, such an incredible article, and there is some wisdom that you have just in a few words, and there's a couple quotes that I wanted to highlight, and I kind of wanted to check in 3 years later, see how you're doing in terms of these sort of quotes that you had.
There's it's been 3 years, huh?
It's been 3 years since that article in 2018. Crazy, right?
It felt like it was yesterday to me. It's been three. Wow, that's crazy. It's been 3 years, but definitely, that article was definitely touching. It was definitely a very, very well-written article.
And obviously, you know, Giannis entrusted Miran to write that biography as well. So Miran Fader, just an incredible writer. And there's two quotes I had that I wanted to highlight that you had from that article. The one thing is, the most important thing in this world is time. And I know that's a lesson you learned from your dad. Mm-hmm. Over the last 3 years, how do you think you've lived up to that mantra of making the most out of your time?
I mean, the one thing, like you could say, like, you can always make money back. You can make different friends. You can do everything. But the one thing in life you can't get back is definitely time. So you got to be always smart about what you put your time into, and just being sure that what you're putting your time into and what you're like spending your time doing, it's worth it in the long run. And that's not to say that you can't be a kid or can't have fun. But I definitely think like your decision making is definitely gonna like help you down the line, and you know, like pave the way for you and to be who you want to truly be.
And in that 3-year period, you know, you become an all-state player. You have a professional year overseas. It's your first time really out on your own. So do you think you spent that time wisely?
Definitely. Ironically, The only thing I had being in Spain, not speaking the language, being by myself at 18 years old, was time. So I definitely was a hard process. I had to adjust. I had to find out how to basically live on my own, and I hadn't done that before. So I just had to live on my own, be able to adjust, and be able to kind of like take all the time that I've spent, like watching my brothers, my mother, and all that, and just implement it to my own household, and just kind of make them come out on my own. So,
and I think in a similar quote that you had, you said a man is somebody that's stable. You don't have to be the most manly dude or have all this money, but if you know what you're about and you respect others and others respect you, then that's a man. In this 3-year period since you said that quote, do you feel like you've become more stable, more of a man over that period?
Definitely. I've grown a lot. I've tried to become, you know, as stable as I can, and I've tried to stay true to my morals and values. You know, like when you say stable, a lot of people like you know, misunderstand that for oh, okay, I'm stable, that means I have a lot of money or I have a lot of wealth. Or I look at stable as somebody that knows who they're about, what they're about, and what their morals are. You might necessarily not know what you want to do in life, or you might still be looking for that, but knowing, okay, this is what I'm about, this is how I'm going to get to this, and I'm going to give it my all, is definitely just, to me, what a man is. So I would say, like, out of my entire life, the most stable people that I've met are the people that had nothing. So since they had nothing, they had to stay true to who they are, you know, because a lot of times when you have so much, you get to lose yourself in what you have. So you just have to always stay true to what you are, not what you have.
That's so interesting. You know, 3 years after that quote, you find yourself with the Raptors 905. And, you know, I'm not sure, I don't want to compare your and Coach Mutombo's upbringing necessarily, but both certainly from humble beginnings, moved over to, your parents moved over to a European country. Yeah. Mutombo moved from the Congo to a European country as well to find a new life for himself. And the message I get from so many players he's coached is that he's more of a life coach than a basketball coach. Mm-hmm. Does that ring true for you as well with Coach Mutombo?
Definitely. I'd say, like, even like what you said about the upbringing, you know, that real, you know, that real hard at, like, you know, the African mindset and the coaching definitely reminds me a lot of my parents, how they used to kind of like coach us as kids. So I would say, like, a lot of the stuff that he said, I've grown as much, like, since I've been here, I've grown as much basketball-wise as I've grown as a person. He said a lot of stuff. He said a lot of stuff that I'm going to keep, like, for the rest of my life, you know.
Can you give us one sample?
We're going to have to ask him if I can share his quotes. I don't know if his quotes are exclusive. But he had a lot of quotes about getting better. Like, he always says, like, you can't get better if you're comfortable. So you got to get uncomfortable to get better. So that definitely comes hand to hand. I had never thought about that until the day he said it. So that's definitely something I've kept.
Yeah, no, he's got lots of sage words to say, because I covered him in February at the G League bubble. So I've gotten a little taste of that that wisdom already. So I'm sure you'll get some more from him. And listen, Alex, I really appreciate the time. We wish you the best of luck in your time in Mississauga and Toronto, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.